Hutchinson kind of come to an end last night. They were upset 10-7 by Western Christian. So a lot going on, but in a game you heard right here on Sunny 99.7 last night, a man who responsible for some of those fireworks we talked about, St. Edmund head coach Matt Dillon, joins the program coming off a 62-14 win over Bishop Garrigan. And, Coach, you know, you and I talked going into the game about the recipe, and we kind of both knew what the recipe was. You had to be plus in the turnover margin. You were plus three. You had to hit on big plays. You hit on a 50-yarder and a 64-yarder to open the game, touchdown runs there by Case Baker. You know, and you had to play sound in the gaps and have a solid run defense performance, and I thought you did in doing the game. So everything that you scripted out, man, you got to love it when it works out just the way you want it.
No doubt about it. You know, I want to give the recipe on offense was the same guys and has been the same guys every week because they're such good football players and really understand what it is that we're attempting to do. But I got to give a shout out to my defensive coordinator, Mark McDermott, and two guys that moved into a starting lineup position for us Friday night, because listen, we're trying to find the recipe that to stop some of these running teams. And you know, we had to make a change, and Isaac Landwehr, who's a junior, first varsity start last night. I don't know how many tackles he had, but it was a whole bunch.
Yeah, we called his name a bunch last night.
And then Kane Reed, who had been at linebacker, we moved down. We put his hand on the ground because we want to take advantage of his quickness. He's got pretty good strength in there. We're struggling at linebacker, you know, and so let's put his hand on the ground and let him go. And he had an excellent game last night as well. And those two guys combined with the rest of the defense, I thought really played well for the majority of that night. You know, we gave up the touchdown on their first possession, but after that it was pretty much shutdown time, and really, really did a great job, I thought, for the majority of the football game. But you know, offensively, I knew the recipe for us against Garrigan, because we are so outmanned from a size standpoint that we had to get to the edges and really try to do some things out there. And Case Baker looks like he was shot out of a cannon.
He did, man.
His first two carries go for 110, 120 yards and two touchdowns. And, you know, he's such a competitor. And his dad, thank the Lord, was back on our sideline last night. You know, a really good friend and an excellent coach. We've missed him most of the season. He came back last night. And I think Case had a little hitch in his giddy up because of that. One of the things Case said after the game, he said, I haven't seen my dad that happy in a long time. So that was awesome. And just a great byproduct of what happened last night.
Yeah. And you know, it's a big program win for you last night. First one since 2014, first one in your tenure too, since you've been here, and the first time that your group of seniors has beaten Bishop Garrigan. That's a big program.
No question. You know, listen, from 2015 through 2018, Garrigan didn't lose a regular season game. Now, that's a pretty incredible run.
Yeah,
it is. 36 straight games regular season-wise. I thought their 2018 team had a great chance to win a state championship. They had all the ingredients of what you need. You know, and that was my first game. Coach Wadley and I have known each other since my Dowling days. His sister and my wife worked together at Christ the King School. I've known Coach Wadley for a long time, and he's a great guy, and he works hard at his craft, and he built an unbelievable program up there at Garrigan. But, you know, I mean, I just felt like this was going to be our time. You know, and our kids right now, we play better at home, no question about it.
But,
you know, we're a better home team than we are a road team, and I thought having that game at home was critical for us. And our fast guys like to play on that turf. So.
True. It's a fast track.
No,
question.
You know, and I think that makes a difference as well.
No, I think it does, too, and that's a good point. And your guys had an energy last night. You know, it's the first time that I've got a chance to see you guys in person this season, and did the game with Casey Miners last night here on 99.7. And really, I thought that you guys were just, it was one of those deals where you were just locked in. And the reason why it ended up being so lopsided really was because you were locked in, and then once momentum's such a crazy force, the biggest force, I think, in sports, and once you have it, you have it, and everything just kind of fell in place.
Especially in football. I mean, momentum is a huge thing in football, and for anybody to think it isn't, you know, that's not the case. I mean, you can literally go through every game in the season and see where that momentum swing hits and know that after that momentum hits, I mean, that game changes and changes in favor of the team that's got the momentum.
Sure.
You know? And then once you lose it, it's really hard to get it back.
And fortunately for you last night, you never lost
right.
the momentum.
Right.
Even when they were able to put some things together, you guys still were very much in control there. And then guys made plays to counter that. To me, the most important play in the game is not anything that really happened in the first half. I think the what shifted the momentum really was the backbreaker. Was you give up the touchdown right before the half. They make it 35-14. Still a puncher's chance at that point. And then Case Baker delivers the knockout blow with the 80-yard kick return to open the second half.
I don't think there's any doubt about that. That was a huge play in the game. And you know, because like you said, you know, they scored that touchdown. 35-14 sounds like a big lead, but, you know, it can get a little bit uncomfortable if they put another one on the board and all of a sudden you're thinking, oh, man, we're hanging on for
right.
our life right
or
now.
Or if you turn it over
yeah.
or whatever.
And that's not what we wanted to happen. Our mission, I told our guys, I said, I don't care if it takes one play, 7, 15, whatever it is, we're scoring on this first drive. Well, it took one, the kickoff return. And, you know, so now you're back up 42-14 and you're feeling a lot better about things.
And I said last night, and I know they didn't mean to kick it to Case Baker because you couldn't want him to touch it after he had taken 150 and 164 yards in the first half for two rushing touchdowns. But my thing would have been, man, kick that ball into the parking lot before you kick it to Case Baker.
Well, you know, and that's always the challenge in our class, Rob. You know, you've been calling games since you've been here at the 4A level.
Right.
And every 4A school's got a really good kicker. Most Class A schools struggle in the kicking game because you don't have a great kicker. Well, our kicker, Thornton Alljets, had a great game last night. And both from the kickoff standpoint and also from the extra point standpoint,
true.
Didn't miss one last night. I think he was 8 for 8. And then on the other side of that deal is the other team. Now, they got their biggest lineman, 310-pound guy, and he's their kicker.
Yeah, he's kicking the ball.
So he's a front-toed puncher, what we call front-toed puncher.
Yeah.
You know, you watch front-toed punchers, they have sometimes a tough time in
placement
and directing that ball where
right.
they want it to go. And like you said, they probably didn't want it to go to Case, especially on a line drive like it did. And Case caught that thing on the line, and he was up the field and made about 6 guys miss, I think, between the 40 and the 50. And then once he got out in the open, there's
yeah.
nobody going to run him down.
Well, he has really good vision to go along with the speed. I saw that last night. Yeah. His ability to read the lanes as he's running is very good. And you know, on that kick return, he comes up the sideline. You've got a wall in front of him there, but he sees that he's going to be walled off after he makes a few guys miss. And you could see, I even pointed from the booth of like the other side of the field because you could see it was open. And he reverses field, goes around that way, and nobody touched.
Yeah, it's, you know.
He could have ran to Webster City and
yes,
nobody would have called.
As far as he wanted to go,
yeah.
that was where it was going to take him because
yeah.
there, once he got out in the open, forget about it. You know,
yeah.
there's nobody going to run him down for sure.
Yeah, that was a good job of reading the field on that play and using the blockers to get where he needed to be and then reversing field. I thought tremendous play in the run game. You know, I go back to a phrase, it's Drew's world, we're just living in it. And that kind of was the deal last night, too. Drew Schaefer was good for you at quarterback last night. Really had a rhythm going, I thought. And I liked your balance with your play calling last night, too. I thought, you know, there are times when you're just in a zone and you're just locked in, and that was last night. And I thought you were locked in with your play calling, too, last night.
I felt good about it. You know, I put a script together every week for what I think is going to happen.
Sure.
You know, some of those weeks, it almost goes to the tee. Some weeks it's like, what the heck was I thinking?
Yeah, let's rip it up and start over.
Let's start over. But you know, last night it was everything I called seemed to have some magic dust on it, you know, and the kids had to execute it. That's the other part of that equation, you know. You may think that you got a great play call, but if they don't execute it, you know, all of a sudden it's like, man, what happened? But, you know, the key to Drew and the key to just, you know, I played the position. I've coached the quarterback position for all my years in coaching. As a head coach, I've always wanted to coach my quarterbacks, and because I just feel like that quarterback and I need to have that same synergy. You have to have that same feeling, same just belief in each other, you know. And Drew's that guy for me.
Yeah.
And last night he had time to throw, and when he's got time to throw, it's going to be deadly because we're going to have guys open, and he's going to find them. And he made, just to give you an example, he made an audible, the touchdown pass to Sean Flattery. That's not a play in our playbook. I mean, the routes that the other guys ran.
Matt Dillon is my guest here on the High V Fort Dodge Coaches Corner. You know what shocked me last night pleasantly was I think we both knew you had an advantage from a speed standpoint and you wanted to use that, but I thought you really held your own at the line of scrimmage, which I was pleasantly surprised with last night. Defensively, your gap integrity was very good.
Much better than it had been all year, and I attribute that to the two guys that we moved into those starting roles for us, Kane Reed and Isaac Landwehr. They both had great games. And Kane, you know, the offensive change that Garrigan made a few weeks ago had been really good for them, and basically they went from trying to be like an I formation team to a team that just kind of lined up their backs and just went straight ahead and just came at you and trying to run behind those big linemen. So we knew we had to get some guys in some gaps to make some plays, because if we didn't, they were just going to road grade us, you know, 5-10 yards, and the backs would be behind them and they're going to make cuts. Kane and Isaac had great games, along with the rest of the guys on the front. Andrew Albert played really well, I thought.
Yeah, he did.
At nose guard. And
Peyton Scott was pretty good.
Peyton Scott had his best game, I think, at linebacker. Sean Flattery, Sean is Sean. He's solid. He's going to have a good football game out there. Parker Oswald does amazing things, especially in the pass game. But he also made some great plays in the run.
Yeah, and a couple of sacks, too, last night that were big. And that last one, man, he plastered Murphy on that last one.
He didn't see him coming.
Never did.
When you're the quarterback and that happens, you don't feel good after that play.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he blew him up for sure. And that play where Parker makes that acrobatic catch on an interception and then turns around, takes it 65 yards for a touchdown. He's the human highlight machine, man. I mean, he has the one-handed grab for a touchdown at the receiver.
Back shoulder throw, one-handed catch, going down to the ground.
Yeah, falling down.
Falling down to make that catch. You know, but he's done it all year. You know, so when you say that was an amazing catch, it was. But for Parker, it's probably just another day in the park.
I don't see it every week. It stands out even more for me. And then he makes an acrobatic play where he circus juggled the ball for 15 yards before he ever corralled it in on that interception, and then he was gone at that point. He just has that innate ability to make a play on the ball. That's something that I don't know that you can teach a guy how to do that.
Well, he's got amazing body control in space. That's part of it.
Sure.
A lot of basketball players will have that because, you haven't coached basketball. They kind of they have to learn to use their body in space. Parker's not a basketball player, you know, but what he is a phenomenal athlete.
Right.
And he's learned how to control his body in space and put himself between the defender and the football and – if it's a 50-50 ball, it's more like an 80-20 ball for us now because, I mean, he's got a much better chance of making that play than that defensive back does.
Yeah, he does, and he was tremendous again last night. And, you know, really pretty much every guy, I think, played as good or better than probably normal last night. A lot of guys going to grade out well for you, and that front seven was good defensively. And
really, I know that's what you're looking for. The improvement you had in run defense is what you're looking for going into the playoffs.
Absolutely. I mean, that couldn't have come at a better time for us. And we got out of there healthy, which was huge. You know, I mean, people don't understand this, but there's a huge difference between 4A and A in terms of the number of players that you have on your roster.
Right.
And how many guys you're counting on to be two-way guys. And if you're a two-way player, probably you're also going to be a special teams guy. So,
right.
So now if you lose one of those guys, you're losing an offensive position, a defensive position, and some special
all three
teams
phases of the game.
That you got to find a place to fit somebody in there. So we got out healthy. Brock started to cramp up a little bit in the fourth quarter.
Saw that.
That's the first time for him. That's a rare thing. So
it was humid last time.
It was. No, I mean – for the first time, I think, in my coaching career in Iowa, I was in shorts and a short sleeve shirt
in October. Yeah.
You know, that normally doesn't happen.
Right.
So, and I was very comfortable, but, you know, you could tell that, you know, that heat was not just bothering our guys, but I think the heat had played a huge factor.
I think it was an advantage for you guys.
No doubt, because those big guys, they don't like to play in the heat.
Yeah, especially Midwestern big guys are not used to it.
Yeah.
You know, Southern big guys are used to it because.
Yep.
That last night is until November,
yep.
Mid-November.
Yep, for sure.
Yeah, uncharacteristically hot last night and humid. And I said going into the game, in the pregame, that I thought that would work to your advantage because of the size difference. And, you know, not in Class A, you mentioned, you know, almost everybody who's a standout player plays two ways. And that was the same thing for their big offensive lineman turned around and
yep.
played defense, too. So they were on the field a lot last night.
Our mission was to tire those guys out.
And I think you did a good job.
We had to make them run sideline to sideline and do that a lot. And our guys came off the field at the end of the second quarter at halftime and said, "Coach, their linemen are gassed." And I said, that's
yep.
the plan, boys.
Yep.
Here we go.
Keep the foot down.
That's right. Keep the pedal on the metal here. Let's go.
Absolutely. Now, Coach Matt Dillon, my guest here on the High V Fort Dodge Coaches Corner. Now, you will go into the playoffs. From what I understand, every class is going to be a little bit different here, too, because everybody's making it. What I understand with Class A is basically the district champs and maybe one at-large team will have the bye. And then everybody else will play in the first round. Is that what you understand?
Well, I think it's going to be five byes, unless there's some teams that come out of here with COVID after this week, you know, going into the playoffs. But right as it stands right now, there's five. So there's three undefeated teams left in Class A. They got to get a bye. If they don't get a bye, something's wrong.
Yeah, then what's the point? Yeah.
Right. And then there's two others, I think, because it's going to be based on a 64-team bracket, even though they're not going to have a full bracket. It's going to be based on pods of either three or four.
Yeah. Right.
So the five teams that get a bye, they'll be in a pod of three, and then the other 11 pods will be four teams in it.
Okay.
And my understanding would be that it's going to be based on geography and record. So my personal feeling is if somebody has – a rematch in round one, I think that's wrong. I don't think there should be any rematches. And this is my opinion. It's worth about 3 cents, but you know, I mean, it is what it is. But I just think, you know, we've only played seven. Some teams have only played six. A few have only played five.
Yeah.
So why would they have to have a rematch already?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I
agree with that too. In the first game or two,
it seems
probably.
To me, I would rather drive an extra 10, 15, 20 miles to play somebody I've never played or haven't played this year as opposed to driving, you know, 10, 15 miles less and playing somebody I've already played.
True,
And I think the kids feel the same way.
I think so, too. I think it cheapens the experience a little bit for the player, and that's what matters here.
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? And listen, all those years I was at Dowling, almost every year in the playoffs, we would have at least one rematch, sometimes two. I don't think we ever had three, but it was different then because the first round of the playoffs was on a Wednesday. So you would have played last night. Your first playoff game would have been on Wednesday night. Your second playoff, had you won Wednesday, the next game was on Monday. And then if you won Monday night, the next game was on Friday. So you were literally playing four games in 14 days. So if you were going to have a rematch scenario, it was much easier to get your kids prepared in a day or two because they had already played that.
Yeah, true.
Kind of knew who they were, but now that we got a week in between games, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me that.
Yeah, and I don't understand the format of playing on Wednesday and Monday and
all
that.
Well, but here's the thing. You got to realize, so this was Iowa back in the day when that was going on. So this was 1996 to 2005. There wasn't any concussion protocols back then. There was not any concern about injuries and all that kind of stuff. The concern was, let's get the state championships done the week before Thanksgiving.
Okay.
And the schedule was always built on that.
Okay.
The association,
yeah, I know they don't like overlap up here.
No, and they did not want to take the playoffs beyond Thanksgiving or play the championships on Thanksgiving weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So that was why everything was based the way it was. Well, since that time, they've moved the schedule back, so it's earlier in the summer. And you start the season in August, which that never used to happen back in the day. And,
okay.
And so now you still get the season over with by Thanksgiving.
True.
Or the week before Thanksgiving. And you get a full week in between games in the playoffs. And having been involved three times in that four games in 14 days, I'm telling you, that was like murderer's row.
Yeah,
and you were playing the best of the best, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that was tough, and it was a grind.
Yeah, I'm sure it was.
The players and the coaches.
And I've never been anywhere where it's been that way. Most of the states I've been, they don't mind a little overlap. If you go deep, state semi, something like that, you're going to have some overlap, and you're just going to have to deal with that in the basketball season and work that out yourself.
Well, how many southern states, Rob, play their state championship game about mid-December, maybe a week or two before Christmas?
Quite a few early
December. I know
Florida
does.
South Carolina does.
Texas does.
Oklahoma does.
Yeah. You know, so, I mean, it is what it is, but, you know, I mean, Iowa does things the way Iowa wants to do them. That's why we're Iowa.
That's true.
You know,
and you know, you can't make the weather excuse because you got the Uni Dome for if it's bad weather. That's where you play your semis and state finals anyway. 5-2 on the season, winning record for you guys in year number three in your tenure here.
We knew, we knew going in that West Hancock was
the buzzsaw,
kind of be the bellwether for us.
Yeah.
Are we ready for prime time yet? You know what I mean? They are a physical football team. Cole Kelly is a physical runner, and you got to be prepared for that physicality because, I mean, they're going to hit you on every play, man. They come off the ball and they strike.
It's a bad matchup for you.
You know, and that's the thing. Last night was a great matchup for us.
Yeah.
That right now, or when we played it, wasn't a great matchup. And the other thing that happened that week, and this is not excuses, but we had four kids pulled out of the game an hour before kickoff. Because of contact tracing and COVID.
Okay.
And the only two tight ends we had, our starting center, and then a backup offensive and defensive lineman. So, you know, and that's a tough pill to swallow. I mean, we needed to be in there.
Everybody.
100%.
You needed to bring back guys who'd already graduated.
I was going to make some phone calls. Any eligibility left. But, you know, I mean, so... I mean, we went in there, I thought, ready to play, and then that phone call came, and we had to tell those kids and our team that those kids weren't playing tonight, and you could just feel the air go out of the balloon right there, you know?
That's a tough situation, especially against an opponent like that. I think you got to feel good at 5-2 about getting a home playoff game, I think, next week.
I'd be shocked if we didn't, I mean, honestly, because there's three undefeated teams. There's 7 or 8 one-loss teams, and then there's probably 8 to 10 two-loss teams. Every one of those teams should have a home game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, realistically,
yeah.
For at least week one, you know.
And then you put your body of work into that with your two losses being one to West Hancock, who's going to have a bye, who is the odds-on favorite probably to win this whole thing anyway.
Yeah.
And then Alta Aurelia on the road, which is a pretty good football team too.
Yep.
And a tough road game.
And I'm not sure how they did last night. I'm guessing they probably won, but they also, you know, their two non-district games were tough football games. Central Lyon, George, Little Rock was their first opponent, and they got kind of manhandled by them. And as they should, because that's an undefeated 2A team right now. You know, so, yeah, I mean, and then their second game was against Shenandoah, who they beat. Shenandoah's had a pretty decent season down there. They're a 1A, I believe. You know, and that was a kind of a makeup COVID deal. In fact, I think both of those games were like makeup COVID deals. So, you know, but they got healthy the week they played us. Their defensive lineman, DeRouche, and their tailback and linebacker, Levi.
Sleaser, yeah.
Sleaser, and man. I mean, those guys, those are two of the best football players in our district.
Yeah, they're absolute dudes.
They proved it that night, for sure.
For sure. 62-14 win for St. Evan over Bishop Garrigan last night. Caps off a winning season at 5-2 for that group of seniors and for Coach Matt Dillon. A milestone year here. And Coach, I appreciate the time. We're all anxiously awaiting that bracket. We're going to catch you up about that bracket.
Listen, I'm going to keep my fingers crossed that it will be out when they say it is. But I'm telling you, the sometimes, even when it was only 16 teams, sometimes it took a while to get that thing out. Now that you're adding 60 teams in nearly every class except for 4A.
True.
It'll be probably the best work they've ever done to try to put this thing together and have it out by Saturday at noon.
True.
And if they get that done, God bless them.
I think it will be out by noon because they've said noon, and usually if you're in that situation, you're gonna play on the back end to give yourself more time, you know. And so I think –
Well, and here's the other thing you got to be careful of, because at 12 noon, that website's probably going to crash.
It probably will, because everybody's going to be going to it.
Every fan is going to try to hit that website at 12 noon. So it might behoove you to wait until 1 or 2 o'clock to try to get on there.
Of course, I got a little bit of a commitment at 2 o'clock with Iowa Central football.
Well, there you go.
Spring game in the fall today.
I read about that. I think that's really cool for Iowa Central.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting deal with that today, too. But nonetheless, congratulations to you and your guys last night on a huge win. First time you beat Garrigan since 2014. Also, a great season, a 5-2 winning season. Something that I know was a big deal coming in that you had kind of circled on the calendar this year. And, you know, good luck here in the playoffs. And you know, Fort Dodge may get a bye next week. And if that's the case, I may be back to follow
you. Well, you have to now because you're one of the good luck charts.
I may have been because I have no idea where that came from for you guys last night. I mean, you've been good all year, but I think without a doubt you were better than you've been all year last night.
No doubt. I mean, our guys were clicking last night on both sides of the ball and in the kicking game as well. And, you know, you need all three phases to advance. So,
yep,
very happy with the total performance. And time to move on. We got to forget about last night. Quit patting ourselves on the back, and let's get ready to play next Friday.
Yep. On Monday, got to be all business when you get back in there, and you'll know who it is. Coach Matt Dillon is my guest here. Coach, thank you for the time this morning. Congratulations on the W.
Thanks, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Matt Dillon. I'll take a break here. Marty Hart, Manson Northwest Webster head football coach, joined the program when we continue on the Hy-Vee Fort Dodge Coach's Corner on Sunday 99.7 online at yourfortdodge.com.